the prayer before reading the Holy Gospel. Grant us, O Lord God, the knowledge of your divine words, and fill us with the understanding of your Holy Gospel, the richness of your divine gifts, and the endowments of your Holy Spirit. And grant us that with joy we may keep your commandments, perform and fulfill your will, and become worthy of your blessings and mercies from you, our Lord and our God, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. I'd just like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone to Saluto this evening. And for those of you who have your Bibles with you, if you would open up to the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. Again, that's the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10. And while it is focused on most of the passage, I'll just read the beginning portions, specifically from St. John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to him. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the living Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I know many of you are very much familiar with this passage that was read to us this evening. And for those of you who don't know, the previous chapter actually talks about the healing of the blind man. And what is happening here in this passage in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, Jesus Christ, in a way, is contrasting the leadership of the Pharisees with his own. See, when we look at the Pharisees, we all know they were people who knew the law and they abided by the law in and out. But of course, they had a spirit of deceit, they had a spirit of pride, and they had a lack of compassion within them. And when we look at false shepherds, they, in a way, are very similar to the Pharisees. False shepherds often control, they steal, and they manipulate people. So Jesus, in this passage, is saying, I am the gateway or the door, basically saying that Christ and his word. And when we look at the scriptures, they are a door leading us to God. And what I wanted to kind of highlight is, this evening, the characteristics of sheep and the characteristics of a shepherd. When we look at sheep, unlike goats, sheep seem to need each other. Very rarely do you see a sheep on its own. Usually, they always are in a community. And in a way, the flock, their community, is their identity. They are known by all of them being together. And not only do sheep need each other, they also need a shepherd that they can depend on. See, a lot of times we don't realize the shepherd is the mainstay in the sheep's lives. Without his attention and care, they would probably quickly find themselves in trouble. Whereas when we look at goats, they don't need a shepherd to watch out for them because they are independent to the point of being headstrong. And another characteristic of sheep is that, sorry to use this word, but they're quite frankly, they can be pretty stupid. You hold up a stick in front of the lead sheep in a procession of the flock, and the lead sheep will nimbly leap up and over the slight barrier. And the thing you'll find is the remaining sheep will do exactly the same thing. They'll obediently leap up to clear the stick. Even if the obstacle is removed, even if that obstacle was to be removed, they will still follow that same pattern of jumping over. See, a lot of the sheep, they are not smart enough to avoid something that isn't there. The strength of their flock mentality forces them into the air, and that's what really keeps them together. So when we look at sheep, they seem to be in need of each other, number one. Number two, not only do they need each other, they also need a shepherd that they can depend on. And number three, they're not exactly the smartest. And as I gave the example, if you hold up the stick and ask the first sheep to jump over it, he probably will jump over. And even if you remove that stick, the rest of the sheep will still keep jumping and follow the pattern of the leader. Now let's take a look at the characteristics of a shepherd. See, in the culture that Jesus lived in, shepherding was a very, very important task. Maybe nowadays we don't see shepherds in our modern world today, especially in the major cities that we live in. We don't typically see shepherds and their sheep walking around in the city or in our suburban life. But one of the greatest qualities of a shepherd is that he always knows the habits and characteristics of his sheep. And he could probably even predict their behavior and understand each of their peculiarities. The shepherd knew the characteristics of his sheep so well that he was never surprised or caught off guard by their actions. That's how well a shepherd knows his sheep. So in a sense, a good shepherd is always at ease with his sheep. He's comfortable with their company. He enjoys the responsibility of taking care of them. And when we look at the life of a shepherd, it is extremely hard if you think about it. In a way, a shepherd, there's never a moment where he's just off duty. And there's never a time where he can just be away from his shepherding responsibilities. Because the moment he walks away from them, or the moment he goes off duty, they're probably going to begin to wander. And a good shepherd would sometimes even have to discipline his sheep. See, a lot of times, if you look back to the time of Christ especially, sheep would just go wandering in fields of grass, and it was very hard to find them. So the sheep were very much prone to wander, looking for grazing opportunities. So in order to keep watch over his flock and making sure that the rebellious sheep could not lead the other sheep astray, what the shepherd would often do is actually possibly even break the legs of the wayward sheep to prevent it from straying away from the flock and leading other sheep to go astray. But one thing that would happen is, even if he broke the legs of the wayward sheep, the unique characteristic of the shepherd is that he would then carry the sheep on his own back to teach the sheep that even though the sheep needed discipline from the shepherd still loves it deeply. And a lot of times you may have seen that image of Christ, the good shepherd, and of the sheep being over his arms, basically. And that's the image that is kind of being presented there. Being carried on the back of the shepherd, the sheep develops a more intimate relationship with the shepherd. Even though he has made a mistake or even though he was wandering or wayward, he develops an intimate relationship with the shepherd. So when I think about all of this and as I present these characteristics, see, a shepherd is one who has to be constantly vigilant, fearless, courageous, and patient with love. His responsibility is to provide all the needs of the sheep. That means food, that means water, that means direction, protection, and healing were all parts of his responsibilities. And what was the responsibility of the sheep? That's the question now. See, the sheep were the ones to have a relationship with the shepherd. They were to follow him and obey him. And as long as the sheep maintained its relationship with the shepherd, they followed him and they obeyed him, then all of the sheep's needs were met. There was nothing that they had to worry about. I think that's something, a message that we can kind of take home this evening, is that our responsibility to Christ, the Good Shepherd, is number one, to maintain our relationship with him. Number two, to follow our shepherd and to obey our shepherd. In the olden times, one of the ways in which a shepherd would protect his sheep is that he would allow for all the sheep to be within inside of the gate. And then he would close the gate and the shepherd would lay outside in front of the door, so that anyone who would come in to possibly even steal the sheep or to do any harm to them would have to walk over the shepherd or go over the shepherd in order for it to happen. And that's the sacrifice that a shepherd makes for his sheep. So the question that I have to ask for us this evening is, especially as we are in this period of the Apostles' Lent, is that we see examples of 12 individuals who, in a way, were first chosen to be sheep by the Great Shepherd. And they all were kind of the ones who were dependent on Christ in every way. They had to follow him, they had to obey him, they had to respect him, they had to follow his ways and commands and everything. But there was a point in time where Christ, the Good Shepherd, trained each one of these sheep, the 12 apostles, to become shepherds themselves. And today, when we look at the lives of the 12 apostles, they were indeed 12 great shepherds who will be known for all of eternity. And when we look at all of their characteristics and all of their personalities, though they were weak and just sinful, just like one of us, they were rewarded for the sacrifices that they made and for their willingness to die for the sake of the great shepherd, Christ himself, and to also willingly die for the sheep, which is us ourselves. So as Christians, I think each of us has a responsibility to be a leader in our own ways. We have to be willing to tell others about Christ, the Good Shepherd, just like the lives of the apostles. If we are not a leader, then we have to consider ourselves to be followers. And if we are followers of others, then we can never be a leader. Let me repeat that again. If we are not leaders, then we are simply followers. And if we are followers of others, we can never truly be a leader. So the question I leave each and every one of us with tonight is, if we're a follower, who are we following? If we are a leader, who is it that we are truly leading? And should we be a leader or a follower? I leave you with that question, and I give glory to the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen. Unto our Lord Jesus Christ be glory, thanks, and blessings for his living words to us. Unto his Father who sent him for our salvation, and to his living and life-giving Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever. Amen.